You're listening to the Doing English podcast, the no-nonsense English learning show for professionals and experts, helping you forget English isn't your first language. Now, over to Julian.
Hi, this is Julian from doingenglish.com, and welcome to episode 26 of the Doing English podcast. At the time of recording this, we are in the middle of Golden Week. Golden Week is a series of consecutive national holidays or bank holidays in British English here in Japan, which means although these holidays are, as far as I know, unrelated, everybody gets basically a week off of work. Although I have to say, perhaps I'm just a grumpy old man, but as far as I'm concerned, Golden Week is not very golden. Because as always happens to be the way in Japan, everybody tends to want to go out and do the same things at the same places at the same time. Meaning, over Golden Week, everywhere is super crowded. So I am taking the opportunity to stay in and have some quiet time at home, away from the crowds of people. Anyway, what are we going to be talking about in this episode? This week, I'm going to be answering someone's question about how to practice English. But before that, well, let's take a look at this week's five-star review. This week's five-star review comes from Gaisal from Japan. And Gaisal said, Julian, I randomly subscribed when I saw you on the new and noteworthy charts. Good stuff. You keep it pretty tight using your own style. Learners of English, or of any other language for that matter, come away with at least one clear value added takeaway each week. I find it personal and engaging. Good stuff. Keep up the good work. You will get to top 10 rankings in your category. Thank you so much, Gaisal. I appreciate the kind words. And I'm happy that you found me in the new and noteworthy charts. I was actually number one in Japan for a while, and Italy as well. Possibly a few other countries, but I didn't check anything else. And I'm very glad you take value from the podcast. If you find yourself in the Tokyo area, I know you're from Japan, but I don't know where in Japan, let me know because I owe you a beer or other beverage of your choice. Before we get into this week's main section, I also have a quick announcement to make. I have mentioned on this podcast before, but since November last year, I have actually been producing a short film for listeners and viewers of Doing English through this podcast and through the YouTube channel. That short film is called Forgetting That English Isn't Your First Language, and it tells the story of how I came to Japan and the struggle that I had with Japanese and the things that I did to overcome that. You can watch the film for free by heading over to doingenglish.com, and it's right there on the front page. I highly recommend that you check it out. It's taken months and months to produce. And I really hope that this film inspires people, intermediate and advanced English learners who, like I was, are stuck with their English learning. And I hope it inspires them to break past that and to push to the higher levels of English mastery. Again, you can check out the film by heading over to doingenglish.com. Let's get into this week's episode. This week, I am answering a question, and the question was quite simply, how can I practice my English? I'm in Manchester, and I can't practice my English. Which places are good to practice? Thanks. Okay, it's a good question. It is a good question. However, it assumes something that I think is not quite accurate. It assumes that practice makes perfect, as the saying goes. However, unfortunately, practice does not always make perfect, and just practicing isn't actually that much help. I'm not sure, but I think this misconception for a lot of people comes from advertising, and especially from the advertising of conversation schools and the like. Here in Japan, they're often called eikaiwa schools. These places love to use a certain kind of advertising where they're basically targeting people who studied English at school but didn't get fluent in the language whilst they was at school. So what they do is they make a point of saying, well, you studied grammar at school. Now all you need to do is practice as a native speaker to activate that language that you learned. This, to be perfectly honest, is a load of rubbish 99% of the time. I'm sure there are people in the world for whom this does apply. So before you start sending me hate mail saying, well, that's the case for me, if you feel like that, then you are probably one of the rare people in the world who this does really apply to. But I think for most people, it just simply isn't true that just chatting to a native speaker once a week, usually about what you did at the weekend, is going to get you fluent in the language. Look, just practicing is not going to help your English to improve. At best, you're just going to be polishing a turd. Sorry for the crude idiom. If you don't know what this means, by the way, polishing a turd is a rather dirty idiom that we have in the English language. And if you polish a turd is, of course, a poo, what you do in the toilet. Again, I'm sorry for the crude idiom. If you polish it, it's still a turd. It doesn't matter how much you polish that thing, it's still not going to be pretty. It's not going to make it any more pleasant. Just practicing is kind of like polishing a turd. You're basically just practicing bad English or practicing language that you don't know, which of course is impossible. You can't practice language that you don't know. So what happens? You force yourself to practice, and you're practicing at best what is the wrong language. Of course, practice is important. Practice is a very important part of the language learning process, but the point that I really, really want to drive home here is that just practicing is not enough. And if you want to get good at English, you need balance. Learning a language really does come down to a simple process of learning the language that you need and then making it automatic, making it fluent. That, of course, is the entire principle behind my course Two Step Speaking, which shows you exactly how to learn the language that you need, from what language you need to how to acquire it to how to make it automatic through practice. And at no point in that course do I tell you that you have to go out and speak to native speakers. So to go back to the question, which places are good to practice English? Well, the answer to that really is, any places are absolutely fine. I mean, how about your own home, in your car, whilst you're on the train, whilst you're out walking? Again, the misconception is that if we don't have native speakers around us, we're just not going to be able to get good at the language, but that really just isn't true. And you can and should go back to podcast episode number 17, where I'm rather frank and rather critical of the idea that you have to find native speakers to practice with to get good at English. Again, check that out to learn all about that. The way that I teach follows a very, very specific step-by-step-by-step process. Again, as I already mentioned, it basically comes down to a simple process of learning the language that you need and then using practice to make it automatic. Again, there's no need for that practice to be chatting to native speakers. And in fact, like I said, you can and probably should. In fact, I think it's better just practice in your own home alone if you want to. So instead of worrying about where you should go and who you should practice with, just get on with it. Put your time and effort into the things which work and forget about everything else. Put simply, do the work and you will see great results. Okay, I think that is about all we've got time for today. I can't really go into too much detail about the finer points of this here in this podcast because it would just take far, far too long. But if you want more detail about exactly how you can go about learning the language in an effective way and practicing it by yourself at home to make your language automatic and fluent, that is effortless to use, then check out my course Two-Step Speaking at twostepspeaking.com. It's quite a long, very involved course, and we can go into a lot more detail about specific exercises and the exact how-to that we just can't do here in the podcast. Again, the address for that is twostepspeaking.com. However, if you're new to me and you don't really know much about doing English, perhaps this is the first time you've heard the podcast, my recommendation before checking out Two Step Speaking is to watch the film, because that really is the story of how I came to create this kind of step-by-step process that I use and that I teach in Two-Step Speaking. And you'll find out from that kind of really how I like to work. So again, if you're new to me, check that out first at doingenglish.com, and the film is on the front page. So what have we got coming up in next week's episode, episode 27 of the podcast? Next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about art. You may or may not know, but I come from an art background. And if you didn't know, again, you need to check out the Doing English film at doingenglish.com. I've said that a few too many times already today. But next week, we're going to be talking a little bit about art and about a pisspot that revolutionized the art world. I probably should apologize because we seem to be using a lot of vomit and toilet and poo and pisspot related topics in the podcast recently. I'm not obsessed, I promise, but whatever, it's a good lesson next week anyway. So that is next week, 7 days from now. Take care, have a great week. If you haven't already, please do take a moment to rate and review the podcast. And if you haven't, do subscribe on iTunes so that you get the episodes that little bit quicker. Okay, that's it from me today. Take care, and I'll see you next week in episode 27. Cheers.